Welcome to Sound Off with Lewis Woodard.
How can you not know who Lewis is? Oh, my God. You hear his voice, you recognize who he is.
Wrapping up the day in sports in a fast-paced, high-energy atmosphere. You got an opinion? Bring it strong or don't bring it at all.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
Dial 843-652-3776 or Sound Off on Twitter at 1003TheTeam.
This is a special person.
Now, your host, Lewis Woodard.
All righty, let's get this thing moving on a Lincoln Park Bar and Grill Trivia Wednesday. As you guys know, we do a trivia question every 5:20. Guys, it's a tough one today. I'm a little disappointed in myself that the first caller has gotten the answer to the trivia question correctly back-to-back Wednesdays. Congratulations to Charleston Charlie. I'm confident today is not going to be one of those days. I think I have a very good one. That one is going to be dropped at 5:20 p.m. next segment. At 5:40, Lauren Brownlow, who co-hosts the morning show on 99.9 in Raleigh, does an outstanding job of covering ACC football, is going to join us to talk a little bit about the Triangle team's games this weekend and NC State dismissing its star running back, which we will get to here shortly. Now, right before we get into that, I do want to mention, if you guys are high school football fans, Ainer at Dillon and Lake City at North Myrtle Beach have been moved from Friday to Thursday on account of all this rain. All right, got the administrative stuff out of the way. Did I talk a mile a minute there? How's my tempo, Brian? Was it all right?
Doing good.
All right, cool. In life, if you are more talented at your job, if you are better looking, if you are more likable, you get more opportunities. Not only are you more likely to get an initial job, you're more likely to have a longer leash with that job. And that has been the case for a long time with NC State star running back Shadrick Thornton. Throughout the course of his career, he's had 3,000 yards from scrimmage. He's had 21 touchdowns. Guy is a player. He's a senior. He's on a team that is 4-0 right now. I want to talk about something I'm going to ask Lauren Brownlow about at 5:40. I have no idea how good NC State is. They're undefeated, but they have played Old Dominion, Eastern Kentucky, Troy, and South Alabama. But they have beat them ragged by a combined score of 185-48. This weekend, they are playing Louisville at home, assuming that the entire East Coast is not about to get wiped out by this hurricane. And we will find out a little more about NC State. But they will be playing without running back Shad Thornton, who Dave Doran, head coach of NC State, has just announced about 20 minutes ago that he is dismissing Shad Thornton from the program. Very good football player. And he has had a collection of incidents run in with university policies and with the law that are some more troubling than others. But what is actually going to give him the final boot, just one day after Dave Doran said he is the best Shad Thornton he has been lately, a.k.a. my guy's been on great behavior and we're proud of him, the thing that gives him the boot is last night he is on a moped in Raleigh, not on the road where a moped is supposed to be, but on the sidewalk, and basically mows down a pedestrian by accident. Some guy, no relation, by the name of Jimmy Woodard. So instantly I empathize with the victim, right? Not because I'm a Tar Heel fan, but because his name is Woodard. I kid. Jimmy apparently had to get some stitches for hip lacerations, but there is a picture of his injuries that I found on SB Nation, and they look pretty trivial. It looks like a couple of Band-Aids, to be honest with you. But Shad Thornton did not comply with North Carolina state law with a hit and run. He didn't leave his name, his information, anything that would hold him liable for future injuries. He basically hit the guy, saw that he was alive, got back on his scooter, and escaped. That is what we have been led to believe. That is, in that particular situation, that is a misdemeanor crime in North Carolina. That is a hit and run. And that is going to cost NC State, their most talented rusher, right when their schedule gets really spicy. And to know why that is his last straw, we talk about this all the time on this program. When does something become a last straw situation, particularly with a college athlete? Because you're getting someone in the transition of their life between 18 and 22 or 23 where a lot of interesting things happen. People can really change for better and for worse. And the last thing you want to do is take someone who maybe comes from a more troubled background and at 18 cut them loose for something incredibly minor and set their life down a path when you could legitimately help them. But I think on the other side of that coin, we can take a look at Jonathan Taylor. defensive tackle for Georgia and then briefly for Alabama. He commits domestic violence in both places. I think you can take a look at him and say, you know what? Maybe this guy doesn't deserve to get to play college football. Maybe he doesn't deserve to get a scholarship pulled from him or to have a scholarship. He does deserve to have it pulled from him. And with Shad Thornton, the other things besides the moped hit and run, I don't know if it's just hit and run, I'm not laughing at that, but somehow when there's a moped involved, it's kind of funny to me. He fails a drug test in the offseason, so he misses the first two games of this season. He has a speeding violation, whatever, we've all sped at some point in time. But 2 years ago, in 2013, he ends up missing some time because eyewitnesses see him push his girlfriend against a wall in NC State's library. So it ends up being written up as some kind of misdemeanor assault on a female. And they get into an argument. He pushes her against a wall. And I have always thought about people that whatever you know about them, if you know something bad, I've always kind of like believed in this kind of iceberg theory, right? Like what you can see above the surface, probably there's a lot more of it beneath the surface. So if you find out the dude pushes his girlfriend against the wall, I'm probably going to think he's done worse things before. But we do live in a society where you're innocent until proven guilty, and he was able to get a second chance after this. He just fails a drug test, and he does a hit and run in a moped, and now the guy's career is over. This is his fourth year, too. He's a senior. There is no, okay, he's going to transfer to someplace in Mississippi like Cam Newton or Chad Kelly, get his name back, and go someplace else. I mean, he is going to, I assume he wants to play in the NFL, so, I mean, he's going to have to go try and see if he can get drafted despite having his spotty past. And I, frankly, I don't really know what kind of professional prospect he is. I just know that he is very productive at NC State. Now, 843-652-3776. Interested to hear what you guys think about this. You know, is Dave Doran, the head coach of NC State, right to cut a guy loose 4 games into his season with the meat of his schedule left for essentially doing a moped hit and run? And the reason why I back Dave Doran in this situation is there has to be consequences for your actions, right? At some point in time, you can't say, Shad, this is your last chance, and not actually deliver on that threat. I mean, you're really not going to have credibility with the rest of your locker room if you just stand by him and say, he's our guy, he's sorry, I ran him in sprints until he vomited. That's what a lot of coaches would do in this situation. But you really do have to stand for something, otherwise you're going to lose discipline in your locker room. And it becomes increasingly hard to figure out where that line is. Like, I don't know what that line is. I don't know if I were Dave Doran. I don't know if I were a head football coach where I would find that line. I mean, personally, looking at the laundry list of things that this guy's done, pushing his girlfriend up against a wall in a library is probably the thing that makes me most uncomfortable, by far. But they were able to give him another chance after that. And nothing else of that nature has popped up, at least publicly. And the last straw is, you know, the moped hit and run. But I think you take a look at this guy's list of things that he's done and said, yeah, I guess at this point he doesn't deserve to have a scholarship from NC State anymore.
It just seems so random how these schools respond to these incidences. Like, it's okay, maybe it'll be a few incidences till we do something serious, like kick him off the team. But like you said, obviously the serious thing that happened a while ago, assaulting his girlfriend, and then he recently got in trouble for failing the drug test. That's
right, yeah, yeah. Marijuana and speeding with his car. I mean, those are things that I think if everybody went to jail for those, there would be mass incarceration problem in the United States, even more so than it already exists.
I just don't understand why now. I mean, obviously it sounds serious, hit and run, but if you look at the kid's injuries, that was affected by the hit and run, he's not seriously injured. It's just like, why is this more deeming of being suspended or kicked off the team than smoking marijuana or whatever? Like, why was this the final straw, not that the final straw?
If I had to recklessly guess, recklessly sports radio host guess, which happens from time to time, I would probably say that after he gets popped in an NC State test for drugs over the summer, after they catch him smoking weed, I would imagine that guy is in Dave Doran's office, and Dave Doran's probably saying, look, Shad, you're a senior. We expect more from you than this, and this is your last straw. Like, literally, we have to have best behavior from you. I'm guessing that it really is a last straw situation, but what is odd is he did go to practice this morning with NC State, and Dave Doran talked to a reporter and said, Shad has been behaving better than ever, and I'm not prepared to talk about this right now, but I'll have a statement later. So it is odd that within the space of a couple of hours, he did go from his behavior has been better than ever to, guess what? Shad's not on the team anymore. So you do wonder on some level if there is some athletic director pressure in there, right? Because, I mean, Jameis Winston dared Florida State to get rid of him about 8 different times, right, for minor things. I mean, he really drew that line. So in the court of law, they weren't able to bring charges against him. So you have to look at him legally as if he did not commit any kind of assault. And then you look at the other things that he did. Did he really rob shrimp from that grocery store, or did someone give him the hookup and someone else turned him in after that? Okay. What college student hasn't said some kind of vulgarity at some point, right? There are a laundry list of things that Jameis Winston did. It seemed like he was just kind of gradually approaching that line of what was acceptable and what was not, aside from the very serious accusation that the law couldn't prove. And it seemed like he was on the brink of having the administration of Florida State just get rid of him, right? Because Jimbo Fisher was not going to discipline him. That much was abundantly clear. And the administration steps in and it's okay. He's suspended not only for a half, but for an entire game against Clemson. You guys remember that last year when they were trying to figure out Jameis Winston screaming vulgarities on a picnic table in the middle of Florida State's campus? They just try to suspend him for a half against Clemson. And then the administration's like, hey, wait a second. If they're losing to Clemson and he comes in the second half and throws a bunch of touchdowns, then all of a sudden he's a hero. We don't want this guy to be a hero today. We need to show that there are consequences for misbehavior at Florida State. So where is that line? I don't really know where that line is other than saying, like, hey, if you hurt other people, that's a lot different than hurting yourself. That's kind of the line where I personally come in. We talked about this with DJ Reader and with Isaiah Battle at Clemson recently. 843-652-3776 is the number. We've got Terry on the line waiting to get in the mix. What do you got for us, Terry?
Oh, yeah, he's talking about this running back from NC State. I mean, we all know next spring he's going to be drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, and he's going to need a running back. They got all the other, you know, thugs on their team, so they're going to just add another one. So, I mean, there is players that have turned it around. I mean, I think Tyrann Mathieu comes to mind. I mean, so far he's been pretty good, and nobody wanted to touch him because of stuff he was doing down at LSU, I guess. But that's kind of rare, but I think he'll probably be in the NFL. Who knows?
Yeah, Terry, I think with all of these athletes that we're talking about in this situation, at some point you wear out your welcome at a given university and you have to go someplace else, right? I mean, Florida said, Cam Newton, we've put up with a lot, but you're going to have to try a different look. Clemson said the same thing to Chad Kelly, and he could win the Heisman this year for Ole Miss. So I think what you're saying does have some merit to it. I mean, you know, maybe an NFL team will look at him a couple months from now and say he's ready for a new setting. But essentially, it looks like he wore out his welcome in Raleigh. 843-652-3776. We have Big Pauly on the line waiting to get in the mix here. Big Pauly, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, what you have to look at, this is a land of second chances.
Sure.
And we understand that. But he's had a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. As a senior, he's got to show personal accountability for his actions. Now, the fact that he was driving down the sidewalk, okay, so be it. But if you hit somebody, you stop and you say, hey, are you okay? Can I call someone for you? And you explain, you know, you explain what happened. He just got up and walked away. And it seems to me he's been protected from probably right through high school because he's a star at high school, I'm sure, and through college. And at some point, the coach has to say, hey, you know what? If you're a senior, you're a leader on this team, you have to show personal accountability. And if you can't do that, I have to send the message to the rest of my team that this type of behavior will not be tolerated here at our university. I just want to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, and Paulie, my reaction is very similar to yours in that at some point in time there have to be consequences even for stars. And frankly, I mean, you look at him, as you mentioned, second, third, fourth chance and so on, depending on how you look at each individual thing he's done. And it's kind of almost surprising that he didn't get the boot when he tested positive for marijuana over the summer and they suspended him for 2 games. I mean, maybe it would have been an overreaction if he had no priors, so to speak, in terms of violating team rules, but he did. And in this incident, it seems like, and I don't know how this happened. I don't know what level of administrative pressure there was, but it seems like over the course of the last 24 hours, Dave Gorin just slowly came to the realization that, like, hey, this actually is the last straw. We can't keep on telling this kid that.
Well, the one thing I have to say about, you know, the marijuana drug testing, I do have one major problem with it, is the simple fact that if he had gone out on a Wednesday night and gotten drunk, you know, or Thursday night after a game or something, gotten drunk, and they tested him on a Saturday, he'd come up with nothing. If he went, you know, and got tested, you know, smoked a little pot on a Thursday night, got tested Saturday, not that he was under the influence, but he would come up as a positive test. And I think that's a little bit unfair because of how the testing is done and what results show up. I think that should be something that should be investigated by, well, is this, you know, really a fair type of comment or a fair type of test for student athletes? Because it doesn't mean that they're a drug addict, okay? Just like if they go out and have a few beers after a game, doesn't mean they're drunk.
Sure.
So I always complain. I always look at that and put a straight glance to it, saying, "Well, this really isn't fair."
Sure.
And what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, you bring up Paulie. Really appreciate the call. You brought up some interesting points. I mean, I will admit, I know nothing about marijuana testing. That's not something. Somehow, some way, being a college athlete, I was never once drug tested. Not that I would have had an issue with that, but I've never been drug tested in my line of work. Nor have I been trying to hide anything that I've been putting into my body at any point in time. So that's something that I don't really know about. But you know what? It is relevant for sports media. I should probably look more into that when it seems like really important guys do get popped for weed left and right. Interesting calls. If you guys want to continue next segment, we may have room for that. But at 5:20, we are dropping our Linkin Park Bar and Grill trivia question. I think it's a good one. Stay right here.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Call 843-652-3776 and get loose.
Interesting calls from Terry and Big Paulie to lead off the first segment of the show there. Where is that line? If you're a coach and it's time to dismiss somebody from your program, where is that line? It's something that we ask ourselves as sports fans all the time. Interesting responses. Perhaps last segment or later this segment or in the last segment of the show, we might have time to revisit that. So if you want to be heard, 843-652-3776 is the number. Now, you might want to call that number again to try and win a $25 gift certificate to Linkin Park Bar and Grill in Surfside. So we dropped this trivia question, and I try to have some relevance to a local or regional football game that's going on. So this weekend, South Carolina is playing at Missouri. South Carolina and Missouri, both over time, somewhat new SEC members, right? South Carolina and Arkansas join in the 90s. Missouri and Texas A&M join in 2011, 2012. So those are the four schools that have recently entered the SEC. And given the amount of money that the SEC makes, they would be insane to leave the SEC. You know what the SEC's exit penalty is right now? $0. The ACC has a grant of rights. The Big 12 has a grant of rights. Other conferences have exit penalties. You can leave the SEC for free. It's just nobody would do it, right? The SEC and the Big 10 are by far the best two conferences to be in financially, so nobody leaves, right? But back in the day, three teams have left the SEC. There are three programs that have left the Southeastern Conference in its inception. If you can name all three, we will hook you up with a $25 gift certificate to Linkin Park Bar and Grill. I am concerned that nobody is going to be able to name all three because one of them is insane. Like, one of them is just a school you wouldn't guess, and the only reason I know it myself is because a buddy of mine went to school there, and he used to talk about it all the time. So name the three schools that have left the SEC for any point in time. 843-652-3776 is the number. We might even just get it down to two at some point in time. So make sure you tell Brian your three guesses, and after a couple minutes, we might have to award it to two. 843-652-3776. Now, South Carolina and Missouri are playing this weekend, and news breaks yesterday, speaking of suspensions and second chances, that Missouri quarterback Matty Mock will not be playing against South Carolina because he, along with one of his fellow offensive linemen, has been suspended by Missouri. And Coach Spurrier was asked in the SEC teleconference about how that affects their game plan or how that affects the game in general, and he actually is open to the idea that Drew Locke, the backup, is a better passer than Matty Mock.
I don't think so, Josh. Their other quarterback is a good player. They may be a little bit more of a drop back type team with him, instead of out of the pocket running around with their quarterbacks. But we'll just have to wait and see. Most teams don't really change their offense all that much when they change quarterbacks. But this the one they are going to play now is an excellent passer from the pocket. So who knows? Who knows if maybe he plays better than the guy before him? Time will only tell.
Now, on the surface, it's tough to say that Matty Mock, with his experience, he's 17-5 as a starter for Missouri. His career stats look pretty darn good, and he's 1-1 against South Carolina, and he has helped Missouri win back-to-back SEC East titles. In 2013, he was stepping in when James Franklin got hurt, and last year he was just the starter. So if you're a South Carolina fan, you recognize the name Matty Mock, right? And you're like, oh, they don't have Mock. That's actually better. Well, this year he kind of has been off to a really rough start this year. He has 130 yards on the ground rushing, so he's still effective rushing, but 6 touchdowns, 4 turnovers through the air, and he's only completing 51% of his passes. And they've been giving Drew Locke, the true freshman quarterback, they've been giving him scheduled series in the first half of every game. Now, Drew Locke, he's 15-25, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, 225 yards. So it's really hard to take a look at him and say that he is terrific or he's experienced, he's ready to start an SEC game. And he is actually going to be at home. But I think for South Carolina and Missouri, both starting true freshmen, it's kind of crazy to think about. Brian, do we have a winner or are we still struggling?
Yeah, Bobby got the first try, first caller.
First caller, Bobby? Wow.
And we just had 2 or 3 other people call, and it sounded like they knew it as well. And
you know, I'm going to get back to my insight in South Carolina, Missouri here in a second. But the Lincoln Park Bar and Grill trivia question, or what I hope resembles insight, the Lincoln Park Bar and Grill trivia question was named the 3 schools in the history of the SEC that have actually left the conference. Now, the majority of people would probably get Georgia Tech because they go to the ACC, and Bobby Dodd, their legendary coach, he had a beef with Bear Bryant. You know, they left more recently. They left closer to like late 60s, okay? Now, Tulane also left the SEC for reasons I'm not entirely clear on, but they left. Suwannee, the University of the South, Division III Suwannee, was a charter member of the SEC. And the only reason I know that is because one of my good friends went to Suwannee, and he would always talk about how they used to be in the SEC. So, that's...
Well,
you said first, literally, Brian, first caller?
First call. It wasn't as fast as last week, but...
Yeah, and Charleston Charlie's been quick on the draw. Winning 2 weeks in a row, that's strong. And I thought, man, I got to dig deep this time. I got to find a trivia question that's going to stump some people. And you guys are a smart audience. I don't know if I have it anymore.
At least you stumped Charleston Charlie, and he didn't win again.
Yeah.
That was what your goal was, kind of.
Well, yeah, I mean, I couldn't have Charleston Charlie step in here and just make a mockery of my trivia contest. We got to spread the wealth around. He's already accrued $50 in Lincoln Park. We got to make sure that it goes out to a different listener. Lincoln Park Bar and Grill, it has the 30 flat screen TVs you expect from a sports bar, but the quality of the food, that's different. It makes it sports dining. Lincoln Park, located off the bypass in Surfside. Also, we do this on Wednesday nights because Lincoln Park Bar and Grill has their trivia on Wednesday nights. By the way, $25 cash prize if you win trivia. Begins at 8.
We should go win some money some night.
We should. We should try to go in there. But I don't know if I'm eligible to win. Like, you know how I'm not eligible to win the HTC Survivor Pool? Not only because I made a terrible pick in week 2, but because I work for the station, so I can't win.
What?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well... I don't know. You should be able to. That's like an outside party that goes in and does it.
Well, it might look unseemly. It might look like there's some kind of collusion there. But anyways, I wanted to go in the direction of SEC expansion with South Carolina playing Missouri this weekend. And this true freshman, Drew Locke, he was an excellent recruit. He has some experience playing. And you can't really say that South Carolina has a huge advantage in this regard because they do have a true freshman quarterback playing as well. But at least Nunez will have one more start. And it's interesting to look at this game and this Missouri team. People are used to them scoring a lot. And Missouri is only averaging 20 points a game. They're 115th out of 127 in the entire FBS right now in this early season. But this game is absolutely critical for South Carolina to win. Like, I know that it's very easy to like pinpoint one game on the schedule and say, oh, this is must win. It's kind of a cliche in sports media. But if you look at the rest of South Carolina's schedule and you accept that this is a rebuilding year for South Carolina and you say, okay, what's the goal? What's the goal for South Carolina? Probably to get to a bowl game, right? That's what they're really hoping for, to get to six, right? I mean, that's a concern to get to six. You're sitting here at 2-2, and the rest of your schedule is at Missouri, LSU number 9, team of the country at home, Vanderbilt at home, at Texas A&M, which is 14, at Tennessee, which if the ball bounced in two different directions on two different nights, they would be ranked in the top 10 right now, but they're unranked because of a combination of Butch Jones' late-game idiocy and some bad bounces. Florida at home, they're ranked number 25. The Citadel at home, okay, they win that one. And then Clemson at home, they're ranked 12. So they literally have to win every non-conference game, I mean every non-ranked opponent, if they lose to every ranked opponent just to get to a bowl game. So they can't afford to play against an unranked team starting a true freshman in his first career start and not win this game if they expect to get to a bowl. Or that, either that, or they're going to have to get really nasty at the end of the season and knock off a bunch of ranked teams, which is more likely. So I think this is an absolutely must-win game for them this weekend. And it's going to be interesting to me with the new John Hogue defense, mixed results so far this season. I bet they blitz the heck out of Drew Locke. I bet they bring the kitchen sink at true freshman starting at home. Missouri lost to Kentucky last weekend, their aspirations for the season. You know, they got to beat South Carolina in a home game. They're looking at that saying, hey, that's must win. If they want to win the SEC East like they have the last 2 years, they got to bring it. So South Carolina's first return there since Connor Shaw. One of the most heroic performances I think I've ever seen, by the way. I mean, he was out there on one leg and completed that comeback to help keep them in the SEC East race. Now, getting back to our earlier conversation, a couple of tweets and texts that came in on athletes and second chances. Dean hits us up. NCAA and NFL rules are written in pencil. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the theme that started out the conversation. Like, if you are that good at your sport, you're going to get lots of chances. And, you know, the NCAA is not going to step in when someone gets hit by a moped on the sidewalk. That's kind of up to the school, right?
Unless the moped was given to him by a booster.
Yes, Brian, yes, thank you. unless the moped or the gas money were given to him by a booster, that's not an NCAA issue. And the NCAA, man, if they're trying to investigate moped infractions, they got to increase their staff, man. They barely have enough time already to investigate legitimate violations. I mean, how many years is it since we've had a UNC ruling now? Was it 3, 4, 5? I don't even know when it's going to happen. I have no idea when North Carolina is going to really get sentenced, so to speak.
And that's the Flakegate appeal is not going to be heard till February now. Yeah. So Brady will have his entire season and postseason.
Yeah, we were also talking about Shadrick Thornton's history with marijuana and the reliability of marijuana testing, which admittedly is something I know nothing about. Big Paulie brought that up. Texter writes in, if you smoke pot, especially if you do it somewhat frequently, THC will stay in your system and be detectable at minimum of a week to 10 days and often longer.
And I know body fat has something to do with it, so unfortunately if you're heavier, I think that it takes longer for it to get out of your system.
Hmm. Now, Brian, why would you know about that?
Because I've had to be drug tested for jobs before.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, well, both of us are pretty skinny dudes. So you're saying if we were to dabble, if we were to dabble, we would have to be even more aware of it. Is that what you're saying?
No, we'd be less aware than someone heavier than us. But like the guy that you said just texted you, it's pretty much about how frequently you use it.
Yeah. Anyways, you know, it just seems like he wore out his welcome, and the 2013 thing with shoving his girlfriend in public, that one is a little more damning to me than anything else he's done. It just, you know, at some point in time, you wear out your welcome. Now, Lauren Brownlow with 99.9 in Raleigh is going to be joining us to help give us a little bit of perspective on this and Thornton's career and how it led up to that. Also, a number of really interesting games going on in the ACC this weekend, in terms of finding out more about teams. Like NC State's playing Louisville, assuming that the entire East Coast does not get swamped by this hurricane. North Carolina is going to Georgia Tech. I mean, everyone thought that Georgia Tech was going to run the Coastal this year, and that should have been the first guess that you're wrong, is that the first thing you know about the Coastal is that you know nothing about the Coastal. Right? It usually ends with like a four-way tie at 5-3, a bunch of coin flips, somebody's on probation, and the dust settles and Georgia Tech gets to play in Charlotte. But they lost to Duke last weekend, so they at least lose that head-to-head in the Coastal, and Duke looked pretty good. You know, they're a 7-point favorite with Boston College this weekend. So if anything in the Coastal, it looks like Duke is on better footing than anybody else. But if North Carolina beats Georgia Tech this weekend like they did last year, that will be that will say a lot about them being able to beat Georgia Tech in back-to-back years. And with NC State, I mentioned to open up the show, even though they don't have Thornton, it's really hard to tell how good they are because they beat, they're 4-0, they're undefeated. They beat the four teams on their schedule, 185-48. Who are those teams? Old Dominion, South Alabama, Troy. And here's Host getting caught not looking at the schedule in front of him right now. But anyways, it's not a good team, whatever it is. Oh, man. God bless the internet. Most of the time when I have the window open, that works, what I just did. But, yeah, they have not played a single good team yet. And so this weekend against Louisville, while Louisville's got a poor record, they've also lost a lot of close games themselves. So we'll find out a little bit more about NC State. Jacoby Brissett, I think whether or not he's successful this season like he was last season is pretty interesting as well, because he's that long on that long laundry list of guys who was on Florida's team in the late Urban Meyer, early Will Muschamp era that couldn't move the football at all. I mean, maybe he didn't get enough of a run there, but he transfers into NC State. This is his senior year. He was a guy that probably envisioned himself playing for SEC championships. Now the setting is pretty different. Other things of interest today, Cam Newton was asked at a press conference about his run-in with Ed Hockley and Ed Hockley's denial that he said that Cam was too young to get the call, and I thought his reaction was pretty amusing.
Just wanted to just bring that to, you know, everybody's attention that, you know, yeah, I may run, or, you know, it's the statistics that Cam gets hit more than any other quarterback. Yeah, because I do a lot of running. But yet, you know, if it's a late hit, if I'm sliding, I don't want to get hit.
He's basically saying that he didn't say what you said he said, which is implying you might have made that up. Do you stand by what you said?
Well, did you expect him to say anything else? Yeah, thank you.
Did you expect him to say anything else?
Well, did you expect him to say anything else?
If you guys could see his head turn, like, by the way, like, if you can find this on the internet, I think blackandbluereview.com has, like, the 30-second cut of that. Did you expect him to say anything else? Side-eye. Calling out Ed Hockley. Not only is he not giving Cam calls, he's being dishonest about it. Calling him out. I'm with Cam on this one. Listen, he had a very genuine and adverse reaction to whatever it is Hockley said to him. And he had no reason to put that beef out in public if it was just like, hey, get up, Cam. It was, you didn't get hit hard enough or something like that. But he straight up, he called an age thing. He said, you're not old enough to get that call. Now, as a Panthers fan, I worry that Cam is going to age prematurely, like 30 years, with as many times as he gets hit. But as someone might be likely to point out, he is making $103 million to take a lot of hits right now. So that's a big contract. And part of Cam's value is what he does with his feet. And they're not paying him to be less of a good football player than he can possibly be.
Kind of on a side note of that, Mike McCarthy was asked if Aaron Rodgers would ever start running the read option today, and he said he gets paid too much money to run.
He gets paid too much money to run the read option, but Cam gets paid a lot of money in large part because he runs the read option, as does Russell Wilson. Now, if they were able to advance the football downfield as well as Rodgers does with just his arm, those two guys and their head coaches would say, you know what, why don't we take this weapon off the table because he has enough weapons already. When James Jones can come off the street and play at a Pro Bowl level because the quarterback is putting the football in the exact right place at the right time, that's when you know you've got a quarterback that shouldn't be running any read option. All right, Lauren Brownlow, 99.9 in Raleigh, going to give us some insight on ACC football this upcoming weekend. Stay tuned on Sound Off. Back on Sound Off Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. I'm Lewis Woodard, and we are joined now on the phone line by Lauren Brownlow. She co-hosts the morning show on 620, The Buzz in Raleigh, and writes for so many online mediums. I'm not even sure these days. Lauren, how do I announce you better than that? I mean, what are we doing these days?
No, that's about right. Although right now I'm just with WRALSportsFan.com. I don't know if I'd have much time for anything else.
Okay. That's how. Are you still doing the GIF-tastic ACC weekend thing?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay. That's what she's most known for in the media world. The everyday sports radio show. That's we're developing that until you can incorporate GIFs into that. That's probably what you're known for. Now, when I texted you to arrange this interview a couple of hours ago, we didn't know at the time that Shad Thornton was going to be dismissed from NC State's team by Dave Doran. What is your reaction to him actually getting the boot for this?
I'm not all that surprised that it happened at all. If anything, I'm a little surprised it happened this quickly. There were some facts coming out and some stuff seemed a little weird about what went down, and I kind of thought maybe he would spend a little bit more time gathering information. But I think ultimately he probably met with the higher-ups at NC State, and they all just kind of decided, look, this kid's on his fourth chance at this point when you count every incident he's had. Some of them have been dismissed. Some of them have been dealt with. And most of them are relatively small, except, of course, the allegation of domestic violence. Well, not really domestic violence, but assault on his then-girlfriend. But that was even kind of cleared up. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that it happened. I'm just more surprised that it happened as quickly as it did. But I think ultimately that was probably the right move.
Yeah, it does seem like there must have been some kind of administrative pressure, because Doran had some weird comment earlier in the day that he had been the best Shad Thornton he'd been lately, and then was at practice, I believe, and then later today he's dismissed. So it seems like either he got more information that he didn't have this morning, or there might have been a conversation with someone else.
Yeah, I think both of those are possible and definitely likely. And, you know, I mean, he's given him another chance and more than once now, and I think he was very excited about the way he seemed to be approaching the season after the two-game suspension, and everybody was pretty high on him and kind of his general attitude. And again, this fight on its own is not a huge, huge deal, and who knows with the circumstances surrounding it what happened or what didn't happen, but all we know right now is that it happened and it's another arrest. And so I think, yeah, ultimately he had no choice.
For sure. Now, with NC State, Lauren, they're 4-0. The schedule, not the most difficult thing I've ever seen, but they're at least beating, you know, bad teams ragged. So how are you viewing them? How are you viewing this NC State 4-0 at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, I think you put it best. They're beating them very badly. And there haven't really been any suspenseful moments. I mean, I could think of a few, but you kind of have to stretch to find flaws in the way that they've played. I mean, they've given up a few big plays on defense, but I mean, come on, you know, it happens. And they've, you know, maybe haven't gotten the ball downfield as much as they would like. It was a little close with Old Dominion for a little bit. But other than that, I mean, you can't really nitpick too much. They've played very well, and they've had similarly easy schedules some the last couple of years and struggled a little bit more against them than they have now. You know, Richmond, I remember a couple, either last year or the year before, I don't remember which. No, it was 2 years ago. They had to, you know, come back from a deficit at home. And then same with Georgia Southern. They had to come back from a deficit last year. So, I mean, I think that it's not, you know, murderer's row by any stretch, but they're trying to get to a bowl game and get this young team some confidence, and they've definitely done that.
Okay, now, so there are a lot of Clemson fans, Lauren, that listen to this radio station, and they're looking at the landscape in the Coastal, although they, I mean, not the Coastal, I mean, in the conference right now. Can you tell I was going to ask you your pick for the Coastal later on in the interview? My head's swimming right now. There are a lot of people looking at NC State and saying, like, are they legit? I mean, is this a team that you think, can this be a team that knocks off a Clemson or a Florida State and takes a run at the Atlantic?
I definitely think they have that potential. I mean, last year they didn't play Clemson well at all, obviously, but they played Florida State very well at home. They are a tough team to play at home when they get that crowd behind them and it's a raucous atmosphere. And so I think that that's always a tricky situation for any team that goes up there, and especially, you know, a nationally ranked high profile team. And there's some talk that they could be going into that game undefeated. And with the way we've seen Virginia Tech play lately, I think that would be their most significant challenge left before that. They have to go to Virginia Tech and beat the Hokies there, which is never easy. But that's a reasonable expectation that they could be undefeated and probably a ranked team when Clemson goes up there. So they have talent on both sides of the ball. They are still young. They do still have deficiencies. But, you know, when you have a fifth-year senior quarterback who can do the types of things that Jacoby Brissett can do, and I think that anybody can be I think that they can definitely be dangerous, and they can beat almost anybody in the league. There's no question.
So you're feeling pretty confident about Louisville then, if you're saying that Virginia Tech is the toughest stretch left on their schedule before Clemson.
It's so early in the season, to be fair, but I haven't seen anything from Louisville that would give me any indication that they would have what it takes to knock off the Wolfpack this weekend. I mean, they have talent, we know that, but their offense has just looked such a mess, and really it's the second year under Petrino that it's looked this bad. And I know they're breaking in a new quarterback at this point, but man, like, you just don't expect a Bobby Petrino offense to look like this. And maybe it'll improve and get better. I mean, it's got to, you would think. But I mean, I don't really trust them right now. They've looked shaky and their offensive line is a mess. And I don't trust them right now to be able to get it together this quickly in time to knock off NC State at home.
All right, well, we're going to take you around the ACC right now as well. We've gotten your insight on NC State and Louisville. How are you feeling about Georgia Tech going to Clemson this weekend? Do you have an early read on that one?
You mean next weekend? Georgia Tech?
I'm sorry. I'm spacing out hardcore right now. Notre Dame. Yeah,
oh.
The champagne colors are swimming in my head, and I swear there's no champagne involved, although it might seem like it.
I was like, man, I missed that one. No. Notre Dame, yeah, they're another team I don't really – every time I want to count Notre Dame out, they've proven me wrong big time. And I can't tell if that's as much about Notre Dame as it is about the teams that they're playing, because I was really high on Georgia Tech, and they just have maybe not replaced some of the pieces they lost as easily as I thought that they might, just because that's what Paul Johnson's always done. And so when you look at the way Notre Dame played against Virginia, that's certainly cause for concern, although it's possible they spent that week preparing for Georgia Tech. I just have no idea what to really make of them. It was impressive what they did to Texas, but as we know, Texas isn't very good. And I don't know what Georgia Tech is this year to know how impressive that, you know, kind of dominating performance by them for the most part was. I do think that their defense certainly has a lot of talent on it still. I think they still play kind of inconsistently, but I'm curious to see what their offense will do against Clemson's defense that has been really impressive so far this year.
Yeah, and you want to talk about the, I don't know what they are yet this year. I mean, Clemson's defense is top 10 in every statistical category, but it's against Appalachian State, Wofford, and that Louisville team that you were saying has been struggling and frankly looking terrible. So maybe we should all just quit this, Lauren, and say until week 5 of the season, week 6 of the season, we don't know anything.
Right. I was joking recently that maybe everyone's not very good. You know, we're all parsing everyone's record and saying,
yeah,
this team did this and blah, blah, blah. Maybe no one's actually very good. Who knows?
Yeah, we got into this discussion with one of my callers yesterday on Dabo going in on Notre Dame's schedule, and I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, well, if Notre Dame gets to the end of the line, they're 12-0, hypothetically, and this is the only college football is the only sport that we would do that. Say like, hey, if this happens at the end of November, then X, Y, and Z must happen. It's like, well, okay, they will have wins over SoCal, over Stanford, over Clemson, over a number, like if you could put their 5 wins up against a number of teams, and they would look really good. And if they have that one loss, they're probably going to get penalized like a Big 12 team would. So I don't really understand why it's a story right now. I feel like it will play itself out, but it's the most college football thing ever to do to play it out.
Of course. And I you know, when I was writing my previews for this week, I was reminded of the fact that when Florida State and Notre Dame played last year, that classic game in Tallahassee, and after that game, people were saying, well, I think if Notre Dame wins out besides this game, they should get in ahead of Florida State. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, can we just not do this right now?
Yeah.
Like, can we wait and see how the rest of the season goes? And, you know, lo and behold, they lost, what, like 4 of their last 5 or something like that? Notre Dame did. So, I mean, it'll all take care of itself soon enough.
Yeah.
I do think they're a much better Notre Dame team than a year ago. And, you know, they're obviously using the running game pretty well. And the quarterback that came in for them has not missed a beat somehow. I don't know where they keep all these quarterbacks. But, you know, I just don't know quite what they seem to be a little bit all over the place in different games. I mean, the Virginia performance was frankly concerning for me because, as we've seen, Virginia is just not good. So,
yeah, I don't know how Mike Lunden continues to coach games there, but you got to assume that this is the offseason where that's finally addressed.
Yeah, they're not even competitive in these out-of-conference games anymore that they should not be playing. So.
Yeah, I look at that schedule too and wonder, like, there's no way that Mike Lunden really wants that to happen. Like that, you wonder, because with scheduling at each university, you don't know how much of that is the coach versus the AD. And I can understand wanting to have fans show up at games, but man, that's brutal what they've done to him each year.
Yeah, it was a dumb idea, and I don't know why anyone thought it was a good one. And it impacts the ACC's record against Power 5 opponents, I might add. So that's not
good. Affecting the rest of the conference, too. Wow.
Exactly.
Virginia needs to think more about just themselves and the coach that they're running out of town, hopefully. All right, real quick, North Carolina, kind of a crazy season they've had. Trubisky last week, albeit against Delaware, very impressive. Going into Georgia Tech this weekend, do you think there's a legitimate quarterback controversy there?
Larry Fedora says no, and he usually refuses to answer the question. So, I mean, who knows with Coach Fedora. He will tell you one thing sometimes and do another, which is completely his prerogative, by the way, but it doesn't make it easy to cover them sometimes because of that. So there's really no telling what will happen. I do think that Coach Fedora knows that the team really likes and respects Marquise. Heck, we in the media really like and respect Marquise. He's a good kid, a nice kid, really honest. We want him to do well. We really do. But he is just, he's made some of the types of mistakes that you don't want your fifth-year senior to make. And when Trubisky gets out there and looks like that, I don't know if it was because of injury. There's been some speculation that Marquise might have gotten a little bit banged up on a sack that he took in that game, and that's why Trubisky got the nod. But obviously Fedora doesn't talk about injuries, so we don't really know that. But he looked very good, and Marquise has just been all over the place this year. And that's not unlike his entire career, more or less, where he's had some really, really good moments or games and then some really head-scratching moments or entire games. So I think, I don't know how short his leash will be. I think that Fedora wants to make this work. But, I mean, at a certain point, it's going to either have to become one or the other. I don't see how they can keep playing this game where they put Trubisky in with Williams on a short leash and then, you know, going back and forth. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, too. I'm very interested to see how that plays out. And also, given that Trubisky essentially signed with North Carolina over Ohio State and seeing how everybody that puts on a Buckeye uniform is like a Heisman, I just instantly think that, hey, Trubisky must be really awesome.
Yeah, he looked great, and, you know, they hadn't been hitting deep balls that much this season, and he hit a couple of them in that game, and again, it's Delaware, that's an important caveat, but Marquise Williams hadn't really been doing that as much, and Trubisky comes in and does it, and so, I don't know, we'll see. I hadn't been a believer, I'd been much more on Marquise's side on this, and let Trubisky get the nod next year and be the guy and not have this back and forth, but at this point, I don't know. I think maybe they'll end up going back to Trubisky, but only time will tell on that one.
She is Lauren Brownlow, reader work, WRAL, sportsfan.com, also on 620, The Buzz in the morning, and Raleigh, if you guys are up in those parts. Lauren, we really appreciate the time, and I'll try to ask you more clear questions next time, okay?
No problem. Stick
with this weekend schedule, not blend them all together. But I really appreciate it.
The radio thing is hard, as I'm learning.
Yes. Congrats on the gig, by the way. I don't think I've got a chance to tell you. Hope you enjoy getting up at like 4 in the morning, right?
Yeah, I'm getting used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyways, congrats, and thank you. We'll catch up down the road.
All right, thanks.
All right. Yeah, wow, I botched the heck out of that one. But Lauren is very knowledgeable. Enjoy her takes on ACC football. When we come back, we'll do a little call of the day. This is Sound Off. You know, when you screw up an interview and you're talking to another radio professional, it's even more embarrassing. Oh, man, got ahead of myself with Clemson's schedule. Welcome back to Sound Off Sports Radio 100.3. The team, I'm Lewis Woodard. Brian Nelson trying to steer this wreck today. A couple of high school football moves that we're going to announce. We've seen various media outlets reporting this. Ainer at Dillon, Lake City at North Myrtle Beach. Those games have been moved to Thursday, and now Wilson at Myrtle Beach has been moved to Thursday. So people making preparations with all this rain expected. Another reason why Coastal Carolina and the Teal Turf. Good idea, man. Don't have to deal with puddles on the turf. Turf's always good to go. So Coastal Carolina taking on an Alabama A&M team this weekend that's 1-2 and has just about the worst defense in the entire FCS. So I would expect fireworks. Well, literally and figuratively, Coastal Carolina, because it's homecoming, is going to have fireworks. But you guys see what I did there. All right, Brian, let's dish out the award.
It's time for the most coveted prize in North America. Sound off call of the day.
All right, a little first-time caller action. Big Paulie throwing down on Shadrick Thornton's dismissal from NC State.
And at some point, the coach has to say, hey, you know what? If you're a senior, you're a leader on this team, you have to show personal accountability. And if you can't do that, I have to send the message to the rest of my team that this type of behavior will not be tolerated here.
Seems to be the situation. Dave Doran dismissing a senior running back, Shad Thornton, from NC State earlier today. Shad Thornton, 3,000 yards from scrimmage in his career with 21 touchdowns. So a very, very gifted football player. Right as his team with a 4-0 schedule right now, things really heat up. They play Louisville this weekend, a bad offense. They face Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech, but they could easily be 6-0 by the time they face Clemson. And Clemson has to go to NC State. Weird things happen in Raleigh. That's where Florida State died in 2012. A lot of really good teams have lost at Carter-Finley Stadium in Raleigh. So it'll be interesting to see between Clemson and NC State if both of those teams are undefeated for that matchup. All right, appreciate the response today. Today was a fun show. You know, I got to do the Linkin Park Bar and Grill trivia question more difficult. You guys are way too smart of an audience. Thought I had you beat today. Definitely did not. Congratulations to Bobby on winning that. All right, Sports Talk's coming up next. I'm sure plenty of talk about South Carolina and Missouri, as well as Clemson-Notre Dame. Stay right here.